Peace, love, and harmony. Welcome back to another episode of Talk Tuesday. I am your host, B Harmony, and as always, your support means the absolute world to me. Thank you guys for checking me out, listening to my podcast. This is one of the last two episodes of season two, so I am so excited to be doing this episode. But not just only because it's the last two episodes before we wrap up season two, but because things are happening in the world, and I am so happy to be in a position to bring you guys news and just share my mindset and the way that I process things, and to know that there's people out there who actually agree with me or who understand my point that I'm trying to prove. You know, it's always a good feeling. And speaking of good feelings, I hope that you guys are very happy and blessed. I'm glad you made it to listen to another episode. I'm so thankful and grateful that you guys are here. So how's it going out there in the world that you guys are in? How's it going? Are you guys out? Is your state or country opening back up? Are things kind of turning relatively normal again? Or are you still in the middle of this weird limbo phase? For me, when I think about this pandemic and COVID-19, you guys, I really just don't understand it. I never understood it. If you guys weren't able to check out my previous episode, definitely go back and listen to that. Of course, after this episode, go back and listen to COVID-19. And, you know, I really felt like this was a whole money scheme. You couldn't tell me that it wasn't a money scheme, you know what I mean? Because it just, there was a lot of things that were happening in the beginning that just did not make sense. And the only thing that did make sense was how much was the U.S. set to profit, or how much was this country set to profit. Now, I'm not one of those people who's saying COVID-19 is not real. Of course, COVID-19 is real. Sure. But do I agree with some of the actions that were taken to possibly combat COVID-19 or aid in the recovery of countries and states who are heavily impacted by COVID-19? And again, I'm only saying this to get you to alter your perspective and see another side that may disagree with your own. I mean, think about it from a business standpoint with these vaccines and the new requirements and CDC, the things that they've put out. Just listen to this clip right here and just try your best to keep an open mind in what you're listening to. So this clip is from Jim Cramer, who is the host of Mad Money, which is on CNBC. And if you haven't checked him out, I highly suggest you check him out just to even learn about money. But that's for a future podcast. So in this clip, Jim Cramer is basically, you know, really upset at the CDC and these new guidelines. And he's talking about it from a business perspective. So for all of you out there who are business minded or who want to own your own business or are entrepreneurs, just consider some of the things that he's saying and let me break it all down once the clip is over with. All right, here's the clip, you guys.
What is a business supposed to do when somebody walks in without a mask? Assume that they're abiding by the rules?
You know, we are asking people to be honest with themselves. If they are vaccinated and they are not wearing a mask, they are safe. If they are not vaccinated and they are not wearing a mask, they are not safe. And what we're asking businesses to do, probably the most important thing that businesses could do right now, is to work to ensure that it's easy for their own employees to get vaccinated.
That's the CDC Director Walensky defending the new mask guidelines on Meet the Press yesterday. Jim, there had been some criticism that it was a little confusing, not well coordinated with states, maybe over their skis. Although Gottlieb on Squawk said he doesn't think we're going to pay a price for this. Maybe it was a week or two early, but prevalence is collapsing, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, what I thought was great about Gottlieb, who's been right, pretty much right all along, was that he said people are going to do this anyway, so you might as well just get ahead of it. My problem with that, David, is that what happened to the impending doom forecast of Dr. Walensky?
She may have dented her credibility by being outspoken early on in her tenure.
You think
so?
And
I think you and I have voiced frustration, as so many other people have, with the back and forth from the CDC for what now has been a year and a half.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's undermined, I think, to a certain extent, confidence people have in the agency overall. It's going to take a while for them to rebuild that. Yeah. I mean, the guy that we listen to, who's been the best, is Gottlieb.
Right. I mean, some people.
And Gottlieb says by June, nobody's going to be wearing a mask.
Right. Well, some people would regard the CDC's work as completely incompetent. Now, I'm not going to put myself in that camp. I just think they're incompetent.
Sure, they have a lot of very rigorous people who work their butts off
to
get things right.
I remember when in The Walking Dead, they all wanted to get to the CDC. And how did that pan out? About equal to the way this pans out.
Right.
A lot of good people there. And now, dead too.
Did you not embrace, though, the new requirements or lack thereof? Isn't that something that will continue to push us towards what almost is appearing to be right now, full reopening?
Every one of these organizations is finally getting around to the idea that indoors without ventilation is how you get it. And that's why I'm so furious about this stuff. That's what it is. The WHO just admitted that it's transferred by viral load.
Right.
It's been that way all the time.
It's not surfaces.
No, I mean, we can write down, Carl, I like Clorox. I think it's an interesting stock, but it did not stop the pandemic.
No, and now it's one of the worst S&P stocks of 2021. I think it's maybe 15 or so from the bottom on the 500. We have cases down in 50 states. The White House says looks like that's probably the case. JP Morgan's opening their offices across the country beginning today. 24-hour subway service. A lot of restaurants going to 100%, Jim, in states like Colorado.
Oh, no, it's real. And I think that there are people who are still worried about the variants and whether the people, David, who don't take the vaccine could be carriers of variants, which we may not be able to defend ourselves against without boosters.
We may not, although we don't know.
All right.
We don't know.
Well, how about
And anybody who has been fully vaccinated who seems to have gotten the virus doesn't show symptoms, right?
That's pretty positive.
Very rare.
But
seemingly rare.
Well, do you think it's the voluntary aspect of the mask is a good thing? She says you should wear it.
I actually come back to vaccines and the question as to whether you can force your employees to be vaccinated. That whole debate.
It's America. You can't.
So as you guys heard in that clip, you hear Jim Cramer having a conversation with another news host where they're basically talking about how COVID-19 has affected the stock market, including businesses all around the world, because the businesses are what thrive in the stock market, right? So when you think about that clip that you just heard, it should make you consider, how does COVID-19 affect business? And I'm not just talking about your mom and pop shop on the corner, a local corner store. Even your companies that are conglomerates like Walmart, Sam's Club, Costco, Target, your big brand companies, right? So since there is a return of the economy, you're now seeing prices in stocks go back up because people are willing to take a gamble that the economy is going to recover. So what does that mean? Well, they're more likely to spend money now because things look like they're returning to some sense of normalcy. You have businesses who are increasing now. You have workplaces opening up at full capacity. You just heard him say JP Morgan and Chase, all of their branches are back opening up, you know, all across the country. So that's a good thing for the people who are employed there or who need their jobs. But then think about it on the flip side. So today when the stock market opened, your stocks like Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, all three of them, the stock price has dropped. Now, it's not a significant drop, but it is a decent drop, you know, and it kind of makes me question, well, why would those three stocks, which are the main ones that we see on TV and social media who are responsible for giving out the vaccines, why would those stocks drop? I believe that it's money driven. You have three main companies who are contributing to vaccination process all around the country, right? There's something about 47% of Americans who have been vaccinated, but there's still over 20% of Americans who feel like they're not sure about the vaccines. So you have these three companies who are fighting to get you vaccinated, to get you quote unquote healthy and prosperous, and where you don't have to wear a mask indoor or outdoor unless the business requires you to wear a mask, then you have to wear a mask. But once you go outside, you don't have to wear the mask. So pretty much it's like such a difference in the guidelines from CDC versus the federal and state levels, which we're going to talk about in a second. So I just wanted to get that introduction to what we're going to be talking about, because there's two main issues that I have outside of business. That's a whole nother podcast, but there's two main issues that I have with this mandatory vaccinations, Joe Biden, our president, COVID-19. Okay, so let's just get into this Talk Tuesday. We're going to title this Talk Tuesday, COVID-19 Money Driven Part 2. So like I said before, you guys, there's a previous episode on this, so go ahead and take a listen. So the first point I want to talk about is definitely education and how it's affected from a elementary level all the way up to your graduate level programs. And the second thing we're going to talk about is travel. How is it traveling, especially when it comes to internationally traveling and traveling from state to state? So in this clip that I'm going to play for you guys, I want you guys to just hear what she's talking about. Now, I'm just editing it down so you can hear exactly this specific point, because this is what we're going to be building on and what we're going to be basing our new rationale on. So check this out. It's just a news clip.
Backlash to Rutgers' tweet online, with one person responding, quote, "I'm not forcing my kids to get a vaccine that's not fully tested yet. And there are questions about what it means that the vaccines have emergency use authorization and not yet full approval." Law professor Glenn Cohen says he doesn't believe that makes a legal difference.
Isn't that a little trippy? How could it not make a legal difference? What does that even mean? So when he talked about the EUA, for those of you guys who don't know, the EUA is the Emergency Use Authorization for vaccinations, which is explained by the FDA if you go on their website, which is where I went to go and look this up. So from a legal standpoint, here's what's going on. The government has the right to declare any type of emergency necessary because it protects the commonwealth and well-being of its citizens, right? So we, me and you listening to this podcast, us Harmonites, are the citizens. So the government is saying, we know that these vaccinations are not fully approved and we have not fully endorsed them because they know they haven't done enough testing to really see what's going on. We're being used as the guinea pigs. This is not a diss to those of you who have gotten the vaccine or are considering it. I just want you to really think before making any type of action or judgment. It's really to get you to understand that the government authorized an emergency use of the vaccine without even knowing if it's really effective or not. What are the long-term health risks, short-term health risks? COVID-19 has only been here, quote unquote, for a year and a half. Now, you can argue with me and say that it's been around and it's been on the back of the cans of Lysol and disinfectant sprays for years, but has it really affected the mass the way that it has in the last year and a half? No. So by all accounts, it wasn't really on the radar the way that it is, because if it was, we would have been had a vaccination for it, right? Right or wrong? Right. And since it's not actually fully approved by the government, they had to issue an emergency authorization in order to use the vaccine. So if we're thinking about it from the public's perspective, it looks great. Like you just heard in that clip, it looks great publicly. Okay, well, we have people who are vaccinated and it's mandatory and you have to get vaccinated or you're going to wear a mask for the rest of your life or however long our president says that we have to do that. So it makes you feel better as a public because it makes you feel included that, okay, well, the government actually does care. The government really is doing something to make me feel better. They authorize these vaccines, even though they may not be ready yet. They're trying to come up with some solution. You have people who actually believe that, you know, and for those people who believe that, this is the perfect podcast for them to listen to. Whether I change your opinion or not, that's not my perspective or my goal. My perspective and my intention is to have you think about the alternative. Whatever perspective you're coming from, think about the opposite of that. That's the goal here at Harmony Politics, especially when we're talking about injecting something into our bodies. We have known this country to do a lot of PR, public related stunts, to make the people feel better. So why would we think anything differently in a time of crisis like we are and have been in for the last year and a half? This emergency authorization might not even need to be an emergency come another 3 or 4 months because, you know, the vaccines could at any given moment be fully accepted. But if they are fully accepted at any given moment, I'm wondering, what is the point? Why is it fully accepted now in such a rush? Is it because of our education system? So I told you guys the first one we're going to talk about is education. And this is something that I'm big on, because I myself am considering going back to school and things like that. So I want to know, are vaccines going to be mandatory? And are there certain exemptions that they're going to allow? There's not too much research that I can do on this subject because there's not enough information out. But all I can do is just share my opinion and the thoughts that I have running through my head and the questions that I'm seeking answers to. Because to me, it seems like there's going to be some type of federal and state disconnect. And it's going to be detrimental to the states that are caught in the process who don't want to make it mandatory, who aren't trying to infringe upon our rights and make us inject something into our body that we're not sure what it is. How can we be sure, really, unless we're actually going to school to study medicine and sitting there beside the people who are making the medicine? We'll never be sure. And that's not just for vaccine COVID-19. That's for all vaccines that are out there, just as a reference point, because I'm not naive. I understand that we don't know what's in most vaccines, you know, but we trust our healthcare professionals, we trust our government, we trust that they have our best interests at heart. if not because they care, at least because they know that we are a part of the economy who keep the money fluctuating and cycling between the 1% and the 99th percentile, you know what I mean? So, of course, they're going to make sure that we're, quote-unquote, looked out for. But to what extent? And if you have the federal government who are issuing emergency use authorizations for vaccines, what if the state doesn't agree with that? What if the state thinks that's a terrible idea and they're not going to do it? They're saying, hey, we understand that you guys issued emergency vaccines and that we're supposed to use them and make these people abide by them, but we don't believe in that, so we're not going to do it. Now you have COVID-19 operating in a gray area that's something similar to marijuana and the legalization in states, but still federally illegal. Do you see what I'm saying? So we are headed towards a huge disconnect between the federal and state, only this time it's on medicine. Usually when the state and federal disagree, it has something to do with crime, prison reform, you know, drugs, things like that, capital punishment, you know, your more serious crimes, your more serious issues. But health is a very serious issue, and we've never been faced with this dilemma before, being COVID-19. And when you're faced with a problem that you've never had before, you may react in a way that you look back on later and think, wow, that wasn't the best way to react. I wish I knew now what I knew then so I could have reacted differently. And I believe that that's where we're headed to with this mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations. We all heard Joe Biden say it. Basically, the rule is now simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours, right? So it's not a surprise that this conversation is coming back up, because at one point it was a conversation maybe a month ago, but it kind of died down, you know, especially with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine recall. So going back to this gray area that we are now in when it comes to vaccinations, it is possible for the federal government to make it mandatory to vaccinate, and you have to file for exemptions in order to do that. It is possible that you will be required to get a vaccine before you go to school, all the way from an elementary level, all the way up into a high school level. You have 12 to 15 year olds who can now get vaccinated. Do you think that it's going to stop at 12 years old? It's going to get younger because you're still around other kids. And the fact that you have these young kids who are under 12 around each other, it may not affect this child, but it might affect this child. We've already seen the racial disparities in COVID-19 and how it affects your African-American communities versus that of other communities. So we are aware of this data. So it would be very naive of the government to think that a certain demographic is not going to get a different strain based on the fact that everybody around them is vaccinated. You can't be with the kids every day. The kids leave the school and they go home. They go do whatever activities they have. They do whatever. They're around other people. So I think that would be an injustice to our elementary school kids to make it vaccinated up to a certain age, when it's possible that you can get it before you even reach that age, you know what I mean? Or you can be asymptomatic and not know it, because they really don't know what's the youngest age to get it. We've seen stories, infants who got COVID-19, children younger than 12 who have had COVID-19, children who are around 12 or older who had COVID-19. So, you know, I don't have that much faith that this virus cannot get to our youth, and putting them in an educational system where it's mandatory to get vaccinated. Now, what about on the flip side, for the parents who don't believe in vaccinations or who don't feel like they should inject their child with something that the government hasn't even fully accepted, but they've accepted it enough to where if you get the vaccine, you can go back to school? What about that family member who is struggling and has been struggling during this pandemic and is praying for the school to open back up, so during those hours maybe they can go out and get a job or work or something? Not to say that the school system is a babysitting service, but you understand what I'm saying. That's time away from the child that the parent has during a specific time, so they know for this amount of hours I can do whatever I need to get done without the child being there, whether that's work, run errands, whatever the case is. How can the state say, we know that you don't agree with the vaccines, but we can't accept your child because the federal government says we can't accept your child? How can they make it so that the children have to be vaccinated and it's mandatory to come back to school, but the teachers and professors at colleges don't have to? Look at Rutgers University. Rutgers University issued a statement maybe a couple of days ago where they said they're making it mandatory for all of their students to be vaccinated in order to come back on campus, but they're giving the professors free will, free choice, freedom to think for themselves and decide if they want to get vaccinated. It's almost an insult or a slap in the face. Now, for me personally, I'm not trying to go to Rutgers, so I'm not worried about it, but that's a slippery slope. It's what I like to call a conundrum, because it truly poses a very difficult question. It's a difficult problem, COVID-19 in itself, but the even more difficult question is the fact that how do you enforce this policy, and how is the federal government going to force states to enforce these policies? Now, what about your private institutions, your private schools, right? What about them? They're not mandated by the state. They're not paid by the state, but they still have to abide by state rules. So how does that work out? What about your religious schools? Is that an exemption because you go to a religious school? Because if that's the case, then we're going to see a rise in enrollment in religious schools based off the fact that they're exempt from having to get this vaccine. I know for me personally, if I had a child and they're trying to tell me that I have to have them vaccinated to go to school, well, maybe I'm going to look at alternative routes, whether that's homeschool or religious school, whatever the case is, because not everyone agrees with this vaccination. And I think that it's very diabolical for those states who are requiring this for their kids to be educated, because now you're going into the realm of not everyone will have the same quote-unquote A through G requirements that you need to go to college. So now you have kids who are going to college and entering college or graduating high school or elementary school or junior high school all at different levels, which is, you know, that's, it's fine because that's the way the world is now. It doesn't have to be such a problem. Instead, we can embrace the diversity. And if you have children or you are a child yourself, maybe look into your schools. You can go on your state's immunization program website or your state health department, and you can see what schools are making these new requirements or are talking about making these new requirements. And you can make an informed decision based off of your own research and what you believe to be true. Just look at your state's immunization program or your state's health department to figure out what schools are moving towards the mandatory vaccines, what schools are saying how to file the exemptions, because there's ways that you can still send your child to school with exemptions and they don't have to have the vaccine. And to be honest, if I'm a college student on campus and I choose not to wear my mask, or I choose to file exemption and I don't have to wear my mask because it's not mandatory, then wouldn't I be the only one who's affected? Because according to the CDC, the honor system is what they're going by, right? This quote-unquote honor system here in good old USA. So if you're applying the honor system, then all the people out who don't have on masks, they're vaccinated. They should be fine. So the only one that should be worried about catching COVID-19 is me, the one who filed exempt, the one who is not wearing a mask, or the one who is wearing a mask, whatever your preference is. Because honestly, there's no real way of being able to tell if you're vaccinated or not. Anybody can say that they're vaccinated just because they don't want to wear a mask. And then what? Are you going to ask to see my vaccination passport or ask to see some type of immunization record? Well, now you're infringing upon my rights. You're violating my HIPAA law. You're violating my HIPAA rights. And I'm going to cite you with the HIPAA law and I'm going to sue you. You know what I mean? So it's such a slippery slope. Do businesses now have to come up with different types of insurance? Do schools have to come up with different types of insurances? Do they need to hire a certain type of nurse or something? Like, you know, what is the next step into enforcing that people are vaccinated, and how do we show proof of that? Because we live in a world where we don't trust anybody but ourselves, and ironically, our government, right? And I laugh because we live in a world where we're taught to be complacent and be compliant with what our government tells us. So if you question that, there's definitely something wrong with you for questioning or going against what everyone deems as the new norm, right? Or what the new normal is. So when we talk about vaccinations and COVID-19, we can't talk about it without having a conversation about our second point, which is, of course, traveling. a lot of you guys are looking to travel right now. You know, summer's coming up. It's about to be hot. You know, who doesn't love being outside in the summertime, right? Well, there's a few things to consider first before you do that. And I'm not just talking about an international level. I'm talking about a domestic level too, because both are in danger of having your rights infringed upon. I want to play this clip for you guys. It's a senior legal analyst at ABC 7 News, and he's talking about how you can cite different Supreme Court rulings in each state that basically allows you to use the EUA, which we talked about earlier, is the emergency use authorization for vaccines, right? So when you talk about the federal and state level, although the federal government hasn't made it legal or necessary or mandatory to have the vaccines, there is a Supreme Court case from 1905 that allows each state's governor to govern as he sees fit for the greater good of the public or the greater good of the people and its constituents, right? So I'm going to play the clip for you guys so you guys can hear exactly what I'm talking about. Check it out.
He probably can't, and his authority goes all the way back to a 1905 Supreme Court case, which says that states can require vaccinations on penalty of payment of a fine for the good of the public health. We'll see where that goes.
And to be honest, I couldn't have said it better. We have no choice but to see how that goes. Think about it. When you travel internationally, there's certain vaccines that are mandatory you have to get. But look at how far and how long those viruses, diseases, things that could affect your DNA have been around. Now, again, like I said earlier in this podcast, I understand that COVID-19 has been around, but it has never affected us in the way that it is currently affected us and has been affecting us for the last year and a half, right? So why is it that you have your vaccines for smallpox, polio, yellow fever, meningitis, other recommended vaccinations depending on what country you go to, and now COVID-19 is going to be a part of it? Why is it that COVID-19 specifically is going to require a IATA travel passport app? That's the name of the app, you guys. IATA travel passport app. So out of all of the vaccines that I just named that are available and that you have to show a record of, you have to show on an app that's linked from to your phone to whatever doctor who's linked to the government that you went to show that you got the required COVID-19 vaccine in order to travel. If that's the case, then why aren't all vaccines being shifted over to a passport app where it shows all of your immunization records? I don't understand that part, and that's something that I seriously have doubts about, because why is COVID-19 specifically so important that it needs its own app in order to scan when you leave, coming in and out of the country? I could think of a few worse viruses that you can catch, like, I don't know, maybe the flu. I mean, there are some things with the flu, you know, that's pretty deadly. And before COVID-19, it's killing a lot more people and will continue to kill a lot more people. The flu vaccine is available year round, all year round, because you can catch it at any given moment. So this is kind of interesting to me. And then not only that, but after you get the COVID vaccine shot, you have the app now that shows proof that you have this. So you're good to go, to come and go as you please, in and out of the country, in and out of whatever country you want to. But here's the kicker that's a little interesting to me. So before coming back to the United States, right now, you still have to show a negative test 3 days prior to your arrival if you're traveling internationally, or you have to show some type of documentation that if you did have COVID-19 at one point, within the last 3 months, you recovered fully from it. Now, mind you, I read and do my research. That's one thing that I'm always going to do. So if you tested positive for COVID-19, you're still going to have it in your system because your body has developed antibodies. Same thing with the flu and certain viruses as well, right? So how can you get clearance saying that you recovered from it in the past 3 months? Only because you have no symptoms. Now, I personally know people who have had COVID and they're still testing positive for it, but they have no symptoms. So is that really healthy in itself? When we talk about international travel and getting tested 3 days prior to arrival or showing some type of documentation that you recovered from it, how do we know you've recovered from it and you're not just asymptomatic in that moment? Or for these couple months, you're feeling better, so you're doing okay, and then it could come back and hit you. Similar to walking pneumonia or pneumonia, bronchitis, things like that can be easily mistaken for COVID-19. Like I said, you guys, I'm not trying to persuade you to not get the vaccine or go and get the vaccine. I just want you to do your own research and make your own decision. Don't just take what the government is telling you at face value, because you also have to take into account that the government gave you a $1,400 check and told you that this should last you and you'll be good. This is helpful to you. But did they stop that mortgage payment from coming after you? Did they stop that car payment? Did your insurance still have to get paid? You still had to get groceries, right? So I just really wouldn't rely too much on the government and their help and aid, because like you heard in the clip earlier, it's a public relations stunt. It all looks good for the public, but in reality, how is COVID-19 not money driven? You have the stocks going down, the education system, teachers need to get paid, right? That's money. Now, I'm not saying that it's a negative thing that it's money driven. I'm just saying, let's take our humanitarian side out of things. Let's put that on a shelf and put it to the side. And let's focus on, does it make sense? Does what the government is telling us make sense? Mandatory vaccines or wear a mask? I guess I'm going to continue to wear a mask until there's enough research out there that makes sense to me. And if getting a vaccine makes sense to you, that is okay. If not getting one makes sense, that's okay too. Just make sure that whatever you do, you've thought about it from both perspectives. You've done your research on how it's beneficial. Make sure you also understand how it's harmful to you. You've done your research on what these vaccination passports mean. Make sure that you understand what it doesn't mean if you don't get it. Especially when we talk about education, the first thing we talked about, you guys. When talking about education and sending the children, the youth to school, really think about what it means and really think about the sacrifices that you are about to make in order to send your child to their education system, because it's much deeper than COVID-19. I want to leave you guys with that note. Like I said, I'm very grateful that you guys are rocking out with me. Thank you so much for your support. This episode was just really me just telling you guys what I think and just sharing my opinions on what's been going on, because as the economy recovers, so many things are changing, and sometimes we're constantly given new information every single day that it's hard to just focus in on something and do your research. You may hear something that sticks with you, and then 5 minutes later, something else sticks with you and you forgot the original point of what stuck to you. You know what I mean? So just make sure that we're staying in tune. Like I'm always telling you guys, watch the news, mute the TV, read what's coming across the bottom of the screen, because that's the information that that's not public related. You know what I mean? That's the information that they're not going to say because it's going to resonate with you. You need to read that for yourself. So thank you guys for listening and checking me out. If you guys are interested in donating, there's a link here where you can donate. You guys can become monthly subscribers and pay a small fee. I can't wait to hear from you guys. I love the positive feedback that I've been getting. I've definitely been working on some things. I got some new things in store. I'm just really trying to get better and share my knowledge and wisdom with you guys that I have. And I hope that we all have came to one understanding. And that understanding is, Be Harmony is here for you. I got you. I'm here to share good, the bad, the ugly, and the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You can only get to the truth by researching his side, her side, and their side. There's always three sides to a story. Never forget that. And until next Tuesday, you guys, peace and love.